Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Dr. Carl, good morning. I'm going to go straight to you. How are you?
Ever so peachy keen, apart from the fact that it's raining so much that mushrooms are growing on the front lawn where they've never grown in living memory.
Wow. Wow. And what is going on down there?
We've got massive storms coming up and down the East Coast of an unprecedented variety, big floods, and in my case, mushrooms, which put me into a weird situation because on one hand, I love mushrooms, and these mushrooms are the size of my head, but on the other hand, I'm scared of dying in case they're poisonous, so I'm trying to find somebody to test them out for me so that I don't have to go through the risky testing procedure.
Yeah, and we do like you, so please don't die. At this point,
nobody died. Nobody died. Don't die. So I'll just admire the mushrooms and let them grow and then vanish away without even trying them. Oh, this is so sad because mushrooms, just one little button mushroom a day, just a mushroom smaller than a golf ball each day, decreases over your lifetime your risk of getting pretty well any cancer by one third.
That's unbelievable. In fact, I wanted to ask you about the foods that we should be eating and perhaps aren't eating. What are some of them? Mushrooms, you say, being one of them.
Any of the yellow vegetables, because you've got all sorts of good effects, including on blood pressure. And then, of course, rolled oats, which is kind of weird. I don't mean the instant oats. I mean the old-fashioned ones. And then finally, tomatoes. But you know, you just have all of these as part of a regular diet. There's no such thing as a superfood. And finally, I am waiting for somebody to come up with the potato as a superfood.
Yes, when are they going to do that?
Eat food, mostly plants, not too much.
So what else should we be eating?
Well, balanced diet, a bit of fat, protein, and carbohydrate, and vary it a lot. So remember that rule. Eat food. By food, I mean stuff that your parents and your grandparents would recognize, not something that comes in a blister pack from the supermarket that's never been seen by your parents and which needs a small chainsaw to open it. No, so eat food, regular food that you can recognize, mostly plants. Now, you can go to a total vegetarian diet, and that's a bit hard because you've got to juggle your B12 and your iron and your calcium and your iodine. But a bit of meat doesn't hurt, not too much. Eat food, mostly plants, wide variety of plants, just to have different plants all the time, not too much. There's a 20-minute delay between when your tummy is full and your brain gets told about it. And the reason for that 20-minute delay goes way back to before we invented agriculture, where if there was any food around, just keep on eating it until you can't eat no more and then have a bit more because you might not get any more food for a day or a week or a month. So just eat big. So we now live in a society where food is no more than 2 minutes away, any time of day or night.
It is incredible. And that's, I guess, why they tell us to eat slowly. Those of us that don't.
Eating slowly makes a big difference, and thinking about the eating as you go. So there was a case of a man back in the 1930s who ended up having some brain surgery, which accidentally got rid of his memory for any recent events. And so you'd say hello to him, hi, my name's Carl, and then turn around and then look at him and say, hi, my name's Carl. And he'd say, yeah, hi. And he would not remember that you had been there 30 seconds before. Right. And so they would feed him. They did this in the 1980s. They'd feed him a meal in the middle of the day, and he was hungry, and he'd have the meal. And then they'd take the place out of the door and then walk in with another meal, and he'd eat it as though he hadn't had the first meal. So you need to have a bit of conscious awareness about your food, unlike this poor fellow, to realize just what you're eating and how much and when you've had enough.
Wow, that is quite sad, really, if you think about it, that we actually don't even have the ability to really tell how we are.
Well, evolution doesn't have to be perfect, just good enough. And if you live long enough to have babies, which is sort of like your mid-teens, physically, not emotionally, well, then evolution is happy, if you can talk of evolution as being a physical thing.
Absolutely. All right, I wanted to also ask you about the coronavirus, especially because we don't seem to talk about it much anymore now that Russia has decided to invade Ukraine. We're 2 years down the line. Are we any clearer where it actually came from?
We've been looking at data, and just in the last few weeks, we've had a few papers published which have been doing long-term dives. So two of these three papers trace the outbreak quite conclusively to the Wuhan seafood wholesale market that sold live animals. So one of the reports looked at samples taken from animals way back. So there was something going on in mid-November and December where people were getting sick. So they had samples that have been stored away, and they analysed those samples, and they also analysed samples from different places, like cages and things that were left behind after they moved out all of the animals. And putting it all together, it does seem that the virus came from there as two different types of virus. And then another study, because there were two different lineages way back, another study then looked at the geophysical location using GPS data and all that sort of stuff and tracked back people. And it does seem that it did arise from the market. And then finally, there was a third study, not a geophysical study, but actually looking at the different types of virus that were around and saying almost certainly they came, it's very unlikely that those two different viruses that were roaming around in those days could have come from a laboratory, then end up in the market. Almost certainly they came from two sets of animals and then jumped onto humans. We still haven't got all of the data, but it's looking more and more like it was just a terrible accident, if you can call selling 42,000 animals, 31 of them endangered over 2 years, if you can call that an accident.
Dr. Carl, that's all we have time for. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.